From St. Peter's Episcopal Church in St. Louis, Missouri, comes this meditation on the Passion of Christ. This service was recorded on Palm Sunday, 2017. The liturgy is modeled on a service held at St. John's College, Cambridge, England, and is in three parts: Gethsemane, the trial, and the crucifixion. Each section of the service includes antiphons, portions of the Passion Gospel sung by the choir, and poetry. The poems included in the service are written by Scott Cairns, Malcolm Guite, and Wendell Berry. The music is sung by the St. Peter's Singers, under the direction of David Sinden. The assistant organist is Scott Roberts. And now, as the organ concludes the music before the service, we join the choir and congregation for the opening hymn, "Sunset to Sunrise Changes Now."
Oh, His last prayer in the garden began, as most as his prayers began, in earnest, certainly, but not without distraction. An habitual what? Distance? Well, yes, a sort of distance, or a mute remove from the genuine distress he witnessed in the endlessly grasping of hands of multitudes, and often enough, in his own embarrassing circle of intimates. Even now, he could see those where they slept, sprawled upon their robes, or wrapped among the arching olive trees. Still, something new, unlikely, uncanny was commencing as he spoke, as the divine in him contracted into an ache, a throbbing in his throat. His vision blurred, his voice grew thick and unfamiliar. His prayer, just before it fell to silence, became uniquely earnest. And in that moment, perhaps because it was so new, he saw something, had his first taste of what he would become. First pure taste of the body and the blood.
Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
Then he withdrew from them about a stone.
Day after day, the temple.
Give sentence with me, O God, and defend my cause against the ungodly people.
O deliver me from the deceitful and wicked man.
The very air that Pilate breathes, the voice with which he speaks in judgment, all his powers of perception and discrimination, choice, decision, all his years, his days, his hours, his consciousness of self, his every sense, are given by this prisoner, freely given. The man who stands there making no defense is God. His hands are tied, his heart is open, and he bears Pilate's heart in his and feels that crushing weight of wasted life. He lifts it up in silent love, he lifts and heals. He gives himself again with all his gifts into our hands. As Pilate turns away, a door swings open. This is Judgment Day.
Said to him, Oh,
became found in fashion as a man, and humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. My God, look upon me.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Parents, the only way is hard. We who give life give pain. There is no help. Yet we who give pain give love. By pain we learn the extremity of love. I read of Abraham's sacrifice, the voice required him, so that he led to the altar and the knife his only son. The beloved life was spared that time, but not the pain. It was the pain that was required. I read of Christ crucified, the only begotten Son sacrificed to flesh and time and all our woe. He died and rose, but who does not tremble for his pain? His loneliness and the darkness of the sixth hour. Unless we grieve like Mary at his grave, giving him up as lost, no Easter morning comes. And then I slept and dreamed of the life of my only son was required of me, and I must bring him to the edge of pain, not knowing why. I woke. And yet that pain was true. It brought his life to the full in me. I bore him suffering with love like the sun too bright, unsparing, whole.
Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they tore Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth. Scripture, because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate,
"Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'"
Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another,
"Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it."
This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Then he said to the disciple,
'Here is your mother.'"
And from that the disciple took him into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture,
"I am thirsty."
A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said,
"It is finished."
Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, in another passage of scripture, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and removed the body. Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Mighty God, we beseech thee graciously to behold this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was intended to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men, and to suffer death upon the cross, who now liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Christ, to take upon him our flesh, and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience, and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God forever.